Good afternoon, guys. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you again. The main reason why that I want you guys available is to get the word out to celebrate my retirement, and also not only my retirement, it's a benefit to raise money for the state of Tennessee and also the state of Mississippi. And the benefit is going to be a dinner October the 31st. You know, we got tables available, we got sponsorships available, and it's dealing with you know, a couple of beneficiaries, the Charles Davis Foundation. Many of you probably know about that. It's dealing with kids, helping them reach their full potential through positive education, athletic, cultural, and economic development. And also, I had the opportunity to meet and have a weekend in Mississippi for autism and the Mississippi Center of Autism and Related Development Disability. And people, as I was before I did the celebrity weekend in Mississippi, was kind of oblivious about how important autism is, because of it started with young kids aged 3 to 4 years old, and how people don't realize the financial background the family has, and it doesn't have the opportunity to have the money to get the help they need and the resources they need. And that's why I think this retirement / benefit is going to be good to help raise money for these benefits, and also the Hope Foundation dealing with the building of homes back in Mississippi for dealing with Hurricane Katrina. I think in the last 2 years we had 86 homes been built dealing with Hurricane Katrina, and that's a good thing. And I'm just glad to be back here in the community, trying to help local charities do the things that, you know, they are capable of doing is raising money, and that's what my foundation is here for. We're looking forward to this event, and we want to push this thing. It's going to be October 31st, like I said. It's going to be held on the General Jackson. We will go out on the water for three and a half or four hours. So I think it'll be a fun event, special, and celebrate my retirement, my long career, and the money that we raise. It'll start some young kid career. So, like I said, my career is over, and this is a great opportunity for me to give back to start, helping young kids, more and more throughout the community, here in the state of Tennessee and also state of Mississippi. So, any questions?
What's it like for you to be back here?
Oh man, it's heartwarming. I tell you, it's feel good. It's always good to come back and to where you started from. You know, it was 11 years here was magnificent. You know, especially with the organization and also the coaching staff. That some are still here and some that moved on, and also get to see some of the guys that I've been talking to and been friends with. See them on the field now. So it's great to be back, and it's great to be back in the community.
Brett Favre got the itch. What about you? Brett Favre got the itch. What about you?
I stretch mine. So if I get the itch, I go ahead and stretch it. So, I think, overall, I think, you look back on Brett Favre's career and the year that he had last year, it was going to be kind of hard for him to give it up. And you won't always go out on a high note, but at the same time, when you're competitive as Brett is, and you got the ability and the mindset to continue to play, he just wanted to continue to play. And he's got the opportunity with the Jets, and he's happy, and I'm happy for him.
Do you ever have any thoughts at all about after you made your decision?
You know, I did not second-guess my decision, because mentally, you can still go out and play the game, but physically my body just wasn't going to let me, and that keep me grounded to where, no, I don't want to come back because of that.
Anybody call?
No, my phone was off the hook.
How often do you talk to Vince, and what have you told him about Mike Heimerdinger's offensive system and that type of thing?
Well, we had a chance a couple times before, right after they signed Mike, and I told what Mike expect out of a player, and what you can expect out of Mike. Mike is a guy that's going to put you in good position to be successful, and the only thing it is that you just got to go out there and put your mindset and believe in what he's trying to accomplish, and I think Vince is a guy that's willing to do that.
What kind of advice you give him when he goes through a difficult stretch? You talk to him still on a regular basis?
Yeah, I talk to him. You know, I try to, you know, not talk to him as much, especially in training camp, because it's a drag in training camp. You know, your mind already, you know, wondering about, you know, the plays and two-a-days and the drag of that. But the thing about it is, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. And then you just can't get caught up in just the good things, and you can't get down on just the bad things. You know, you have to even it out and balance it out, because, you know, you're going to have bad games. You're going to have bad things happen, but you got to have that mental mindset that, you know, the next series, you got to forget about the past series and move on. And I think that's the thing that, well, Vince got to do, is just move on after something bad happened and forget about it. And like I always tell you, my philosophy when I was, you know, in playing for 13 years, you got to have amnesia. You got to forget it and move on.
How long? Speaking of moving on, how long did it take you to kind of bury the hatchet with the organization here after the way things ended?
You know, personally, it wasn't about burying the hatchet. It was just that, you know, I still love the organization, but it was just a business move. You can't mix personal things with business. And, you know, it was a business decision, and I accepted that. And like I said, and we moved on. You know, this organization has been great to me. You know, they gave me an opportunity to play 11 years and take care of my family. So, you know, I still don't have any animosity towards this organization, especially about the coaching staff, because the coaching staff is just like family.
This is the first time you've been back here since you got locked out that day?
Yeah, it's the first time. I was scared to come through, but but no, it's good. It's good to be back. And me and Jeff, you know, we talk off and on, and he always wanted me to come back. He wanted me to come to practice. I talked to him several times this offseason. He wanted me to come back and watch practice. And, you know, he's a guy that's he's willing to open his arm and accept, you know, us being friends.
We try not to compare Vince to you too much, but it's inevitable to a degree, mm-hmm. And you know him well. You were always so self-critical, and he tends to be, it seems, a little sensitive to criticism. You ever have conversations about that, and do you agree with that assessment of him?
And the thing about it is, I tell him, if you get in a fighting contest with you guys, you're going to lose every time. But I think, you know, it's just that growing spurt he got to go through. And he'll realize, and people don't understand, this is only his third year. And Vince got a lot to learn. He got a lot to improve on, and he will. And he's willing to do that, you know. And I think it's not taking it personally. It's just he's so competitive, and he want to do everything right that it gets to him if he don't, you know, live up to the fans' or the coach's expectations.
How were you able to see him going through progressions? You can see his footwork improving?
Yeah, I saw a couple of drives the other day when he was in there. And he's getting better. And, you know, preseason is where you get better, and it's where you get to improve, and it's where you put all the offseason into work. And everything is not going to be exactly how you want it in preseason, because you only have two or three drives that you got to go out there and try to do your best. It's not like you're playing four quarters and, okay, you mess up one quarter, you got the second, third, and fourth quarter to make up for it. It's not that. You know, he may go out and struggle a little bit in the preseason, but he don't have the opportunity to come back and redeem himself. And in the regular season, you know, you have that opportunity. You got more and more opportunity to have a bad first half and come back out and have a great second half.
How were you able to put the criticisms that came early in your career behind you so easily, at least publicly?
Well, you know, the thing about it is, you know, I didn't read the papers. I didn't, you know, look at ESPN. I didn't do that. I just came out. I had a tunnel vision. I just came out, and my teammates believed in me, and my coaching staff believed in me. And that was the thing that helped me throughout, you know. When all the outside world's against you, you know, we come in this building, it's all us. We're in this thing by ourselves. And I think that's what Vince got to do, and that's what every quarterback do, and every player in the NFL got to do is, you know, you can't worry about, you know, what the criticism that goes on outside this building. You know what you are capable of doing. All you got to do is go out there and be consistent and get your job done.
Vince said it into year three. Where were you in your career when you started to feel more comfortable, like things were?
You know, I sat out for 2 years, so my year three was also my rookie year. But I think my going into my latter part of my third year, into my fourth year, is really when the game slowed down a lot. And I feel like, you know, that's because now I know the game mentally. You can have all the physical tools in the world, but the game is won mentally because of you've got to know where to go with the ball. You got to understand every situation that the coaches are putting you in and deliver the package when it's go.
Do you think in today's league a number one wide receiver has become more of a necessity, or you think teams that look to balance it out and don't have that guy can be just as successful?
Well, you know, you got to catch 22. You know, it's 50-50 either way. You know, you got a lot of guys who have the number one top receiver on their team and not been successful, and you got some guys that, you know, have that chemistry, you know, within four guys that's not that number one guy, and we won without a number one when I was here, and we won in Baltimore without a number one, a big time receiver. So I think it's the coaching staff. If you don't have that number one receiver, is how do you orchestrate, you know, those guys that you have to be successful.